I spent some time deciding what parts of this topic we could cover in the next half hour and made some notes. Just so we have some direction. As I said, we're dealing with Brahma, who is described as completely manifesting the absolute truth or the transcendental sound. He's the personal representative of God and brings this sound that's manifested into the world. The divine sound is also called pranava, Shabda Brahman or pranava. I know a devotee named Pranava. There's another text in purport in the sixth canto in which Prabhupada gives as a synonym for Shabda Brahma, the Hare Krishna mantra. He says Shabda Brahma is the transcendental sound vibration, including the Hare Krishna mantra. And there in that sixth canto text and purport, he also uses, the text uses the term Param Brahma. Param Brahma means the supreme absolute truth in the form of divine sound. Param Brahma, Shabda Brahma. So this is something we've read in the Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, I'm the form of the transcendental vibrations like Omkara. And Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. And I am the supreme absolute truth. Krishna says these things in the Bhagavad Gita, and they're confirmed in the Bhagavatam. The form of mine in transcendental sound, that form, my form in transcendental sound is eternal. It's not material. Remember in the Isha Upanishad, it says that this eternal Vedas, the eternal Vedas, they're not spoken by any material creator. The sound is on the transcendental level, not material. So this is considered an eternal form of the Lord. And this is one of the topics that's described from the start in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first verse, the first verse of the Bhagavatam, first and second, third verses, the prologue, they mentioned that there's two kinds of substances. This is also a topic of the Bhagavad Gita. One of the substances is real, and the other is illusory substance or temporary substance. And therefore, it's called non-factual. The illusory temporary substance is not factual. So the first verse of the Bhagavatam says that it's Krishna who imparted the Vedic knowledge onto the heart of Brahma, Tena Brahma, Hridya, Ya Adi Kavaye. Tena Brahma, Brahma means here the Shabda Brahma, Hridaye Ya Adi Kavaye, into the heart of the original poet, Adi Kavaye, that's Brahma. And by Krishna, even sages and demigods are bewildered. Muyanti yat surya. Even demigods and sages are bewildered by this illusory substance that's created. Only because of Krishna do the material universes appear factual, although they are unreal. So the devotees like us who are studying the Bhagavatam, trying to progress in spiritual life, we're often considering these two kinds of existence. The real tattva, consists of three features, according to the first canto, the second chapter, the 11th verse. Vedanti tattva vidas tattvam yaj gyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabjate. Those who know the truth, tattva vidda. Vedanti tattva vidda. That truth, tattvam yad gyanam advayam, it's known as brahmeti, brahma, paramatmeti, super soul, and bhagavan. So the absolute truth exists eternally in these three features. And these three features combined are this substance that's considered real. But the living entity in the world, in the conditioned stage, accepts as real or substantial the illusory energy called Maya. So when you want to become a devotee, when you want to be a monk, you have to make a distinction. You have to learn the distinction, how to distinguish between ignorance and transcendental knowledge or sound. Because when we're on that platform, then we can understand the form of the personality of Godhead. We don't consider the personality of Godhead formless like the Mayavadis. Mayavadis say Krishna has no form, no personality. But the Vedic knowledge says that the breathing, just the breathing of the Supreme Lord, is Vedic knowledge. Just the Lord's breathing. He creates Vedic knowledge. He creates the activities of the material world on the basis of his breathing. His breathing is none different from him, so that breathing is Vedic knowledge. The Lord says that when he endeavors or breathes, simply breathes, the material universes come into existence and various activities develop. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, pranava sarva vedeshu. Pranava sarva vedeshu. I'm the syllable om in all the Vedic mantras. That's why in the Vedic canon, you begin with the vibration of the transcendental sound, om kara pranava. That's Krishna. And the same transcendental sound is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's stated, there's no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. Abhinatvan nam namino. the name and that which is named. There's no difference. So that's clear now. We have it clearly in mind now that transcendental sound is, it's the Vedas and Brahma is the representation of God who manifests these sounds in the material world. But there's something else to consider. You know this, I think the picture is here. Jadarani painted a picture of Brahma manifesting all these sounds. Here it is. This picture. Brahma's there, and you can see that from the mouths of Brahma and other parts of the body of Brahma, so many things are manifested. So that's all good. But then Krishna later says, or in other places, let's say, in other places, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, he speaks about how a devotee like Arjuna has to transcend Shabda Brahma. You have to transcend Shabda Brahma. You have to What he means is you have to go above the sacrificial rituals of the Vedas. Why does he say that? Because the sacrificial, the sacrifices, the rituals of the Vedas, a lot of them are meant for achieving something in the temporary world. People want to have what the material world has to offer. So they follow the sacrificial methods of the Vedas. Let's do a sacrifice. Let's do these rituals. And then we'll get everything the world has to offer. So this attempt to achieve one's self-interest through sacrifice and ritual is all right. You recite the Vedic sounds to do this. You recite Om and other mantras to do this. That's okay. But still, Krishna says, as it, for example, in Bhagavad Gita chapter 6, text 44, he says, an inquisitive transcendentalist stands above Shabda Brahman, the ritualistic principles of the scriptures. And in Bhagavad Gita 2.45, he says, the Vedas deal mainly with the qualities of nature, the gunas, the modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So become transcendental to these, Arjuna. Okay, so we have this presentation. On the one hand, the Vedas are pure sound, the form of Krishna. And on the other hand, one should go beyond the Vedas because they're meant for achieving one's self-interest in the temporary world. So how do you learn that kind of distinction? How do you learn how do you decide when to consider Vedic sound pure and the worshipable form of Krishna? And when do you reach the decision to try to go above, inquire more, and go above the Vedic knowledge? Prabhupada provided an answer when he wrote a Vyas Puja homage to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He was discussing this. Here's what he wrote. The transcendental knowledge of the Vedas was first uttered Uttered means spoken. Maybe just by breathing, maybe his breathing was considered the utterance. The sound can come from his breathing, we discussed. But it was uttered somehow by God. The transcendental knowledge of the Vedas was uttered by God to Brahma. And from Brahma, the knowledge descended to Narada, then to Vyasadeva. And in the process of disciplic succession, the Vedic knowledge was transmitted until it reached Lord Gauranga, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who was posing as the disciple, acting as the disciple and the successor of Sri Ishvara Puri. Then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he writes, is the present Acharya Dev in the 10th disciplic succession, 10th disciplic representative from Sri Rupa Goswami, who is the representative of Lord Chaitanya, who preached this transcendental tradition in its fullness. So Prabhupada says, the knowledge that we receive from our Gurudev, he's writing about Bhaktisiddhanta, before he came to America, he's speaking his audiences, his godbrothers and other people in the Gaudiya Math. The knowledge that we receive from our Gurudev is not different from that imparted by God himself and the succession of the Acharyas in the line of Brahma. We adore this auspicious day of Sri Vyas Puja Tithi, because the Acharya is the living representative of Vyasadeva, the divine compiler of Vedic literature. Then Prabhupada gives a warning, a caution. On the other hand, one who has received the transcendental knowledge by oral reception from the bona fide preceptor in the disciplic chain, and who has sincere regard for the real Acharya, he must need be enlightened with the revealed knowledge. He'll receive this revealed knowledge of the Vedas, but the knowledge is permanently sealed. It's like a closed book to the cognitive approach of the empiricists. So on the one hand, Prabhupada tells us how to enter the disciplic succession so that we receive the knowledge and understand the knowledge and understand how to distinguish between things. And then he says, this knowledge is permanently sealed. If you just take a cognitive approach like an empiricist, you might be a scholar, you might be someone who got a degree at Oxford. The first president, Prabhupada has in mind the first president of India, Sarvapalli Radhakrishnan, Oxford-educated man, became the first president. And he wrote a book. He wrote a translation of the Bhagavad Gita. He wrote other books on Vedic knowledge. And Prabhupada said the knowledge is actually not available to him. Also Gandhi, one of Prabhupada's personal heroes. Gandhi studied the Bhagavad Gita and took comfort from it and used it. But Prabhupada says that's also, he's a politician. He's sometimes called a saint among the politicians or a politician among the saints. And Prabhupada says the knowledge was also sealed to him. You remember the letter Prabhupada wrote to Gandhi warning him that he should retire from politics and preach the Bhagavad Gita. And if you don't do that, Prabhupada said, your life will end in an inauspicious way. So Prabhupada said this on the strength of the Upanishads, which say, yasya deva para bhaktir yatta deva tatat guru. Only unto the great souls who have implicit faith in simultaneously in both the Lord and the spiritual master are the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. But still, Krishna says, the domain of the Vedas is the three modes of nature. Be free of these modes, O Arjuna. Be beyond duality. always established in pure existence. Go beyond acquisitions and safety, security. Be in possession of your true self. So the Vedas aren't everything. In Bhagavad Gita 2:52, Krishna says, when your intelligence passes out of the forest or jungle of delusion, your intelligence can be lost in a jungle or forest of delusion. When that your intelligence has to come out of that, then you'll become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. That which has been heard refers to Riti, the Vedas, or Shabda Brahman. The Vedas offer worldly results. So the great devotees of the Lord become indifferent to these worldly results by performing devotional service to Krishna. And in that way, they go beyond the limit of Shabda Brahma, the rituals. And Krishna encourages Arjuna to read the Vedas in a special way, an esoteric way that reveals himself. He says, by all the Vedas only I am to be known. By all the Vedas only I am to be known. So the real purpose of the Vedas is not worldly, but the real purpose is to know Krishna. We have a few minutes left. I just want to turn to a short topic, kind of as a means of introducing myself, what I've been doing. Some of you may not know me. In the last 6 years, I've been working on this journal. I'm a co-editor of the ISKCON Communications Journal, which comes out once a year. We produced 5 volumes in the last 6 years, counting the issue that's coming out this year. And I thought you'd find it interesting to hear a little bit about some of the topics and papers and articles that are appearing in the journal. You're going to leave. Can you stay 2 more minutes? This is so interesting. I don't want you to miss this because it's really relevant to what ISKCON is doing in England. Just 2 minutes, 3 minutes. You know, you remember a couple of years ago in Leicester, there were some riots between the Muslims and the Hindus because there was some argument about a football match or something like that. So Pradyumna Prabhu and his wife, Nimai, they got together some of the intellectuals in the Muslim community and they made a joint statement that, you know, this is not Hinduism and Muslim to just be fighting. That's not what Hinduism and Muslim is about, our sectarian differences, right? So this is really a serious topic in England where people are now very concerned about the migration of so many Muslims in England. So I wanted to tell you about one of the authors who's writing for the ISKCON Journal. He's a scholar from America. He's come out with this book this year. And his name's David Coolidge. He went to an ISKCON temple in Chicago when he was a teenager. His class went to the temple, just like here you have people come into the temple, huh? School children. So you never know what the effect is going to be. When he was at the temple, within his heart, we could say, the super soul, inspired him. What to do what? To inquire and find out, where is God? Who is God? He got that inspiration, and he writes about this in his book. He said, but I didn't become a devotee. I happened to become a Muslim. And he married a Muslim woman. And he became more than a Muslim. He became a Muslim scholar. He made this his topic of research as well as his faith. And what did he want to do as a Muslim, as an intellectual? This is presented in this book. The book is called Hindu Bhakti Through Muslim Eyes. So he thought it was important as a Muslim to do this, present Hindu Bhakti through Muslim eyes. His inspiration was a Muslim intellectual in India who lived 1,000 years ago, who was aware of the Bhagavatam and who felt that the Muslim community should be aware also of the Vaishnavas and the Bhagavatam. They should understand something about that because they were living side by side in India. So he took inspiration like that. And in his graduate training, he had some teachers at the school he went to in California who were Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who were devotees in ISKCON. One of those was Garuda Das, Graham Schweig. He was teaching in California to David Coolidge. And David Coolidge wrote papers in which he discussed Radhanath Swami's book, My Journey Home. And he became gradually acquainted with all the ISKCON scholars who attend the convention of the American Academy of Religion. They have an annual. He meets the devotee scholars there. He knows them. He knows devotee scholars. And what he wants to do is he wants to present to Muslim intellectuals the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition so that they'll be able to live peacefully together. So that's pretty cool. Now you can go. Thank you. Any questions or comments? I can't hear you. Where's the microphone? Could you come? I mean, could you not put your hand in front of your mouth and speak super clear and super loud? Because I'm hard of hearing at this point. It's not Hinduism.
The fact that the last 25 years in this one, we've been identifying ourselves with Hindu religion.
Correct.
Brings about these problems in society, in terms of the Christian conscious society.
Okay.
Therefore, we have to defend ourselves.
Okay.
In the name of Hinduism.
All right.
Anyway, just wanted to say
that. Yes. What would you devotees think of this? You probably have to think about this too. Should I call myself a Hindu? Sometimes, Prabhupada, we had a discussion about this once at a communications conference. I think Gauri was the presenter. Gauri Prabhu was the presenter because he used to deal with it as the president. Huh? And he was presenting to the devotees at the communications conference examples of what Prabhupada said about this. And he said, yes, sometimes Prabhupada said Hinduism and included Krishna consciousness for various reasons. And sometimes he was very strongly pointing out that Hinduism is not what Krishna consciousness is. So you have to look in Prabhupada's books and, you know, in the indexes. You can look in the index of the books. Sometimes you'll look up Hinduism in the index and you can find what Prabhupada said on that topic. Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
It's very rare occasions Prabhupada did identify Krishna consciousness with Hinduism.
because Prabhupada wanted to distinguish us from so many types of Hinduism, so-called Hinduism. Yes. Could you repeat what he said?
He said that when we go to preach in Muslim areas, they sometimes become aggressive. But when we speak through Krishna conscious lens, then they become favorable and some of them even take books.
Very good. Sometimes if we forget about mentioning Hinduism, we're better off. And we just mentioned, that was Prabhupada's point also, forget this Hinduism. Tell people about Krishna consciousness. And even the Muslims like that. Once I was on Sankirtan with my books, and I saw three Muslims coming out of they had just come from the mosque. They had gone to pray. It was in the middle of the afternoon. Maybe, I think they do that on Friday, they go to the mosque. Huh? So I was just telling them about the books, how nice the Krishna consciousness books are. And because they had just come from their prayers, they were in a very nice mood, mellow devotional mood. And they all took books. And when the books are translated into the language, Arabic or languages that the Muslims in the Middle East speak, then people really like it. Oh, this is in my language. I can read about Krishna consciousness in my language. So my godbrother Satya Narayan has, you know, done enormous amounts of service preparing all the books in Arabic. And he wants them distributed in the West. You can't go into the Muslim countries and distribute them. You can't import the books and distribute them there. You have to distribute them outside the Muslim countries here in the West, Western countries, and let people from Muslim countries take them home.
Yeah, because Krishna consciousness is applicable to all religions.
Say it again, louder, please. Exactly.
As soon as
you, it's finished. Same with Christianity. Christians will say, yeah, okay, you have your religion, I have mine. Christianity is the truth for me. So we don't want to make it a sectarian presentation. It's for everyone. Every perfection of religion is to love God. Good. Okay, we'll stop here then. Thank you. Very much, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Can you take this? Thank you. This is broken also.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna.